Shed Some Light, episode 244, coming to you on a Thursday. What do you have to say already?
Notre Dame is back.
No, man.
After proclaiming them dead last episode, they're back.
Back, and Sam Hartman looking better than ever with the stack. Wow.
It is Movember, baby. He's got that stash coming in hot.
The thing is, I've been working on the stash for coming up on 3 months now. He does it, like, granted, he had, like, a beard that he just cut down to the
stash. I think that's the difference. Is that, like, if you don't have the full beard, like, his looks better because it's such a drastic change.
It looks so good.
God.
One day, one quick shave, couple, like, 10 minutes of work, and his already looks better than mine.
Shout out to Fights from Barstool, quote tweeted it and was just like, all of college football should just be talking about this one dude that looks like a Disney princess right now, or Disney prince, and I was like, he is a good-looking motherfucker.
He also looks like he could fit in very well on, like, That 70s Show. Kind of gives me those type of vibes. Like, the guy is just a chameleon. He can.
Yeah, there's no look that he can't pull off.
Yeah. It's incredible.
God, he's hot.
Speaking of an incredible performance, Notre Dame just absolutely dominates USC.
I'll tell you what. I needed this past weekend, and I needed this weekend to go exactly like they did so bad. Like, I needed Notre Dame to shitbag USC to bring my spirits back up.
Mm-hmm.
I also needed this weekend. Like, I feel like I needed a bye week.
Oh, I know.
As much as the players need the bye week.
Fans truly need byes just as much as,
like,
almost as much as the players.
not just as much. But, like, I can't tell you how much I was like, thank fucking God I don't have to stress about a Notre Dame game this weekend.
Yeah. It takes a lot out of you.
Thank God I can just sit there and be like, okay, I'm just going to watch college football today. And I couldn't give a fuck about who wins.
Even on, like, the lesser competitive games, the Navies, the Tennessee States, like, you still got to be locked in for that. This Saturday rolls around, bye week, you don't have to be locked in for anything. You can just do literally whatever you want.
God, I needed it. I needed it.
It's pretty cool.
But you want to talk about the game? Because I want to talk about the game.
Yeah. You forgot something.
Yeah, I had physical notes that I took, like, on a pad of paper, like bullet points. I had an outline of notes. And I remember them for the most part because I have since went back and watched that game twice. Full game.
Nice, nice, nice.
Done my research, written my notes.
Okay.
So I got a lot to say.
Start us off.
All right. Number one. I've never been more right on anything in my entire life than I have about USC's offense. They are the backyard football warriors. The actual play, and I said this, you can go look this back up. This is like week like two or three maybe that I said this. The actual play that they run never works. Ever. Caleb Williams just scrambles around in the pocket. Or outside the pocket, and fucking chucks it down the field because some poor defensive back gets tired after running around for 8 seconds chasing a guy, and it works every time for them. And then they played Notre Dame, and Al Golden drew up the fucking best game plan of all time, which was just make Caleb Williams sit in the pocket.
Al Golden coached circles around the USC staff.
So that was one of my other notes that I took, and it was just, Al Golden is goated.
Also confirmed, not a press box guy.
Yeah, which is shocking.
Tough look for you.
Yeah, bad look for me. Not good. Last year, was that's my biggest thing, too, is that, like, last year I was very much like, I don't want to say I was out on him, but I was like, he was disappointing to me.
I've been very disappointed with him up until this past week.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think until this past week. I think the most of the season he's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a game where I've been like, the defense was the reason we lost.
Yeah.
That was a hesitation.
I just expected more out of him
What I mean, what more could you have expected?
Not on Saturday. I'm talking like during his entire tenure at Notre Dame so far.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm breaking it up last year and this year.
Yeah.
Last year was like massively disappointing, where I was just like, man, like fucking this dude. I thought he was going to be like the guy, like going to be our dude.
Right, right, right.
And last year was like very like, oh, Jesus, like what the fuck is happening? And then this year, for the most part, and you can argue Louisville, and like even then, I think you have an argument to say that it wasn't Al Golden's fault, because like half of those points that they scored, they got the ball on the fucking 6-yard line.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, well, who fucking cares? But he's been tremendous this year, in my opinion. Like, he has coached his fucking dick off on the sideline.
Yep.
And it's also funny that he has the tiniest fucking play card of all time. That thing, it looks like he has a card that was like when your teacher told you that you could like write the notes down on a test on a.
You're allowed to have one note card that you can bring.
And he's got all the fucking plays written on that tiny ass note card, and that's all he's got. And he's just smoking teams left and right. Like, I fucking love every second of it.
A couple stats that I wanted to throw out before we get into more game breakdown there. Marcus Freeman's been Notre Dame's head coach for a year and a half now, a little over a year and a half. He now has tied Brian Kelly for home victories over top 10 opponents. Teams. So,
yep.
That was pretty cool. I'm
just going to float that one out there.
The other thing.
Do with that as you will.
The other thing, Saturday's 28-point victory, 4 touchdowns, is the most lopsided Irish win over a top 10 opponent since USC in 1995.
Eat dicks, USC.
How about that?
I do want to give a little bit more credit to the defense. I would like to give credit to somebody that I feel like I just still have not heard a lot about, because their defense is so secondary heavy. So you hear about the Benjamin Morrisons, Xavier Watts, obviously. We'll talk about that in a minute, about his fucking game of the century, basically. You hear about the D-line, the Howard Cross. I want to give a shout-out to Riley Mills. I feel like Riley Mills does not get enough credit. He may not show up in the stat sheet as like, I feel like he's a dude who chases somebody into a sack. And so that he doesn't get credit for the sack, because he technically didn't tackle them. But like, I was watching the game, and it was like half the sacks that Caleb Williams had, it's Riley Mills like fucking chucking an O-lineman to the side, running at him, and then he just runs into the arms of like a D-end.
I do believe, if you go back to Shed Some Light episode 243 last week, I did say Howard Cross and Riley Mills would be some clutch players if Notre Dame's defense were to do well against Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and like I feel like Howard Cross has gotten a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Riley Mills has not gotten the love that he deserves. So I want to be the one to be like, Riley Mills is a fucking dog, dude. I saw one play where he fucking pushed a dude like your initial block. You know, he got up into him and then just yeeted him to the side, and I was like, oh shit, how you doing? Again, speaking of defense, hand up, I want to apologize to JD Bertrand. I am sorry I fucking doubted you. I don't know if it's fucking Al Golden's scheme where you're like, you're not in pass coverage anymore, or you got a lot better at pass coverage. I don't know what the fuck it is, but you have been absolutely fucking amazing this year, and I am, hand up, I am sorry that I doubted you at the beginning of the season.
Another, I think, thing that goes untalked about, especially with Xavier Watts' performance, opposite side of the field, Cam Hart, 2 weeks in a row with a peanut punch.
Yeah, dude, that's elite. I mean, elite.
That's a lethal move when your corner is just bang, fumbled. Yeah.
Dude, and like kind of going off that peanut punch happens with what, like 3 minutes left in the game, something like that?
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Lincoln Riley for doing our job for us. I have never seen anybody give up on a game quite like Lincoln Riley in that fourth quarter. Like, watching that game live, I was talking to the people next to me. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, when they pulled Caleb Williams, I was like...
Not even that. Dude, before that, they got the ball back with 8 minutes left.
And there was no urgency.
They ran 3 minutes off the clock themselves without moving the ball at all.
Yeah.
I don't... Like, for someone who's supposed to be, like, an offensive genius, I genuinely... do not understand what the fuck was going on.
Well, he is an offensive genius, and that was the lowest point total that a Lincoln Riley coached team has been held to in his coaching career.
Get fucked.
How about that?
I'm not even kidding. I was sitting there like dumbfounded. It didn't make any sense. They were running the ball up the middle, they were throwing screen passes, and then they would waste 30 seconds of the 40-second play clock.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, do our job for us. Like, fucking continue to run the clock off. You're down, like, 18 at this point. Like, fuck, I genuinely don't know what the fuck he was thinking. So I want to give a shout out to him. Thank you for whatever the fuck you were doing. No idea.
Is this, well, no, that's a dumb question.
Never mind. Are you going to ask? Where is this ranking, like, all-time Notre Dame wins that you've seen?
No. I wasn't.
I'll say it's top five at Notre Dame. At Notre Dame Stadium that I've seen personally is top five.
Probably. I could get behind that, yeah.
It's Michigan, 37-0.
Yeah. No, that's number two.
Are you saying Stanford goal line? Stanford goal line was my number two. Clemson last year, and then it's probably this.
Yeah, I could. I would have to agree with that.
Personally, that I've seen.
Yeah. I have seen a lot of games there.
And honestly, if somebody made an argument that this game was better than the Clemson game last year, I'd hear them out. I think the Clemson game last year had more big plays.
Yeah.
And it was more of a lopsided affair. So, like, you can argue that, like, Clemson was better because of that. But, like... just beating the fuck out of Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams is fucking... It was awesome.
It means more when it's against USC than it does Clemson.
And, the best part about it, too, like, it wasn't a, like, 49-42 shootout. You know, the offenses were fucking flying. It made me so happy to have, like, I guess the realization or to just look at it and be like, USC lost... because Caleb Williams was shit.
It's also pretty wild to think about, especially after watching the performance against USC, that Notre Dame is a game in 3 seconds away from being probably like number two or three in the country right now.
Yeah. Well, it definitely made the Louisville loss hurt more, plus the fact that they got shitbagged by Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Louisville sold their souls to the devil to beat Notre Dame.
100%. Also, I will say that has a little bit to do with scheduling.
100%, yeah.
So.
Four night games in a row, all against ranked opponents. Granted, you don't necessarily go into the season thinking that Duke and Louisville are going to be ranked, but pretty funny, too, when you look at that stretch, and if I would have told you at the beginning of the year Notre Dame went 2-2 in that stretch.
I'd have been like, we beat Duke and Louisville, right, and we lost to USC and Ohio State. 100%.
That's, I guess, why they play the game.
Yeah. Offensive-wise, not the best game, not the worst. Probably should have been better than what it was for the defense they were playing.
I will say, I know that it's just a very selfish comment, but let's go for one more touchdown at the end of the game.
Oh, dude. There were multiple times that I texted you in that game. I was like, fucking dude, I want to drop nuts on USC, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't care that we're up fucking 21. I want to be up 28 at the moment. Like, fucking drop it.
Up 28 at the end. Let's go up 35.
Like, dude, there was one time that we were... how much were we up? It was like 21-3, 21-6 at one point, and we kicked a field goal. And I literally texted you. I was like, fuck it, dude. I would have went for it. Like, I want to fucking bury this team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to win. I want to destroy them. Shout out also to... the Notre Dame, I guess, production crew? Are they listening to Shed Some Light?
We got fireworks.
We got fucking fireworks, baby. I mean,
all of the lights played again.
Okay, but then, again, we got to do it. You're halfway there. It should have been all the lights with the bracelets.
Yeah.
You're like, you got halfway there with all the lights. You got fully there with the fireworks.
We got, the addition of the flames being shot.
Yeah, dude, they're listening.
There's not like a whole bunch of people that listen to Shed Some Light.
Can we sue them?
No. I'm not suing them. I'm encouraging this.
I want some reciprocity, repercussions, something, whatever. I want my fucking royal due diligence. Peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
We gave him the ideas.
I was so happy to see that. Those things went off, and I was like, that's it. I can die a happy man.
Yeah. During that game, I'll ask you this, because I've said this to a couple people. Did you ever feel nervous?
I think there was one point when it was 21-10 and USC had the ball.
Okay.
And had they gone down and scored there, yes.
Okay.
Other than that, no.
So I was nervous for all of 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it was, I text you this, it was when they scored in the fourth quarter to make it 31-20.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, dude. If we go three and out right here and they get the ball back down 11 with like 8 minutes left, like we're fucked. Like this is a big momentum change. And so I text you. I was like, we need a 6 minute touchdown drive. And immediately Jadarian Price goes 99 yards on the kickoff. And I just text you in all caps, fuck a 6 minute touchdown, dude. And after that happened, I was like, dude, we're smoking this team. Like it's game over. Like you don't come, like. They had all the momentum scoring that touchdown and then just legitimately kicked in the nuts so fast.
Yeah. Sweet game. It still makes me wish that we just had one less loss right now.
For sure.
10-2 is still on the table.
Yeah.
New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
Got to take care of business against the remainder of the schedule. Almost we got like the bye weeks kind of stacking up. It was a front heavy schedule.
Yeah, we have two in the next 4 weeks.
Yep.
I want to bring up something because I want to get your take on this. The picture of Sam Hartman
doing the V down.
Yeah. Okay, it's fucking hilarious. I can't sit here and not say I'm being a giant hypocrite loving that picture.
Yeah.
Because if Caleb Williams did something like that, I'd be like, fuck that dude forever.
Well, yeah. That's the fucking the nails.
Yeah. So I can see both sides of this argument. Because I can see USC fans being like, fuck Sam Hartman for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can also see Notre Dame fans being like, you understand this is like reciprocation. Because Caleb Williams was an asshole.
Yeah.
So, like, you get what you deserve.
Right.
So, like, I see both sides of it. And obviously, I'm on the fucking Notre Dame side of it. Of, like, get fucked. V's down. That picture is so goddamn funny.
I want a fat head mural of that, dude, on my basement wall someday.
I'm going to get a panoramic of that. And then, like, all the Notre Dame fans in the tunnel right below him just fucking V's down, baby. Yeah. God, that was good.
I can't say enough good things about Sam Hartman. I love that man.
Dude. And then like plus like you don't even talk about like the benefit of like that with the recruits.
Yeah.
That with everybody. Like that was a huge fucking win.
One of the four-star recruits, oh man, I can't think of his name. He's from the Chicago area. Came out with a quote saying that was literally the best football game that he's ever attended in his life.
Hell yeah, baby.
Boom.
There's a lot of stuff. CJ the Slim Reaper, I forget his last name. He was hyping it up. Deuce Knight might be like equivalent of like the Drake Bowen. Like Deuce Knight's constantly hyping up Notre Dame and I fucking love it, dude.
He gave the V down with
Sam. Yes, dude, that picture was so fucking funny. Roger Guessame and Sam Hartman hitting a little giddy in the locker room. Yep. How you doing? Yep. Love it, dude. That was fucking God, I needed that. I needed that sweet, to like
sweet victory.
Oh. And then again, gotta prop up the production team, whatever. Playing California Love at the end of that game was the most disrespectful yet funny shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
Someone must
Who
have
got
pitched
to them? Who got to them?
Game day consultant ideas.
Who got to them that was like, yo, fuck it, let's do some disrespectful shit, and I love every second of it. That's so funny, dude.
It's about time, too.
That is that you, so funny.
You got to lean into these sorts of things. That's what just enhances the rivalry.
It almost feels like it was like one of those things where like, you know, like boxer movies where some dude's just getting like battered in the corner and then the coach is like, hey, fucking fight back. And then he just fucking starts clocking him. It's like that was like Notre Dame for the past like 5 years, where it's just like we were down in like marketing, media, entertainment value. And then Freeman walks in there and he's like, hey, fucking start fighting back against these dudes. And they start putting up fireworks. They're playing California Love. They're releasing these fucking sick videos with the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators, you know, with the mics and everything. Hartman doing the fucking Mish Control, we got him, is elite. Like, I love that dude. God, do I love that guy. And also, we didn't even talk about it. Xavier Watts, fucking defensive game of the century.
The X Factor himself.
I mean, like, you literally, that was the best defensive game I've seen ever in Notre Dame, single-handedly.
Yeah.
That was, goddamn. He's good.
He's good.
He is good. I did like, I don't like whoever the broadcast team is for NBC.
Oh, yeah. It's freaking Jack Collinsworth and is it still Jason Garrett?
No. Somebody else. But they were dog shit.
They always stink.
But I will say the only funny thing that they had was the last fumble of the game where they were just like, no way it's him again. No way. And I was like, it is. It is him again. And it's like, yeah, dude, he was fucking all over the place.
Yeah.
But again, this is why I want to give credit to Riley Mills. Because like a lot of those interceptions, like him and Howard Cross are in the fucking backfield. Again, credit to Al Golden too. Like, I don't know if it was just me that thought this, but like it felt like you have your offensive line. And it normally feels like everybody just kind of collapses in, right? That's your normal, like, you pass blitz. Rush. Yeah. It felt like their goal was, like, they rushed four. Their D tackles would be like, hey, you're pushing this dude as far back as you can, whoever you're going up against. And then D line was like, don't run towards the quarterback. Just run downfield. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we just want to create, like, the smallest pocket possible. Like, I don't even want you to, like, push in. Because then, like, he can just escape. And then, like, all hell breaks loose.
Caleb Williams, it seemed like, had just zero idea where the pressure was coming from for, like, 95% of the night.
I loved it. Speaking of Caleb Williams, fucking, did you see the move he pulled today? We're recording this on a Wednesday. Did you see this shit?
No.
Dude, this is a ridiculous move coming to say regardless, basically. But to say this, after coming off the shitbag performance that you just put up against Notre Dame, I'm not fucking around. I looked this up because I thought it was a joke when I first saw it, and I had to like verify through multiple sources. Caleb Williams has said that whatever team drafts him, he wants partial ownership of that
team.
Get
the fuck out of
here. I swear, to God.
No.
I fucking, like, multiple.
Who does this guy think he is?
Multiple, like, NFL beat reporters reported this. I was like, you're an asswipe, dude. Fuck right off, dude.
I was 97% out on him. Now I'm
fuck
104% out on him.
All the way off, dude. Literally fuck off.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't even own part of the Chiefs.
Yeah, dude. Like Patrick Mahomes, maybe, needs to sit him down and be like, chill the fuck out, dude.
You haven't even played a snap in the pros, and you're asking for ownership of the team that you play for?
Dude, if it,
get
to,
out of here.
To ask for ownership of a team coming out of college, I'm not kidding you, you would have had to go 3 years undefeated. And then I would have been like, oh, fucking, maybe I could see that. He hasn't lost.
Good schedule.
No, like, I'm talking you win the national title 3 years in a row as a starting quarterback of a team.
Yeah.
Then I would be like...
With like a Heisman and a Heisman runner-up.
Probably three Heismans. Because if you're going undefeated 3 years in a row, you're probably the best player on that team.
Partial ownership.
Like, and even then, if he did that, go 3 years undefeated, I'd be like, fucking, that's a lot to ask for coming out of college. But like, you know, he did go 3 years undefeated. Not like he fucking lost to Tulane in the bowl game last year and then just threw three interceptions and had five turnovers versus Notre Dame. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, you are such a cocky motherfucker. Fucking please. Stay at USC for another year. Get fucked, and I hope your draft stock tanks because everybody figures you out. You are the biggest asshole I've ever seen in my entire life.
Can't stand him.
Fuck that, dude. Fuck Caleb Williams forever. That's one where, like, if you want to talk about, like, jumping to a Colts fan, if there is in some fucking God's universe where the Bears draft Caleb Williams, I might jump.
I am done.
I might be like, I'm out. I'm not dealing with it. Like, I can't. I cannot root for him.
I promise you that if Caleb Williams ends up on the Bears, I am not a Bears fan any longer.
If Caleb Williams ends up on the Bears, I'm going to be the fucking dude from Happy Feet. Like, don't push me because I am close to the edge. And that's the edge is me being, like, not a Bears fan
anymore.
Remember
those TikToks that were going kind of viral? It was like, huh?
Oh, yeah. The dude's like, I'm going to jump up. Yeah, that's literally going to be me.
What else do you have sports-wise?
Baseball playoffs are on.
Yep.
Currently in game three right now versus Texas and the Astros. You want to hear a wild stat?
Sure.
Texas is up 2-0 after taking two at Houston. Currently down in game three at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is below 500 at home this season. That's a wild stat to win your division and be below 500 at home.
Yeah.
They're 40-44 at home this season.
Just road warriors, I guess.
Which is wild.
Especially for the Astros.
Yeah.
You think that they should thrive at home.
But then also, like, you could also, like, spin zone it and be like, facts. You could spin zone it and be like, they thrive off the shit talk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Phillies, my team of destiny.
Yeah, deemed.
Dude. Did you see the game the other night? Fucking a 10-piece on them?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
That's what happens when they get Doug Demodomed.
I mean, am I going to buy a Phillies 2023 World Series champion jersey? Fucking, who knows? Who knows? I already got a Braves one, so I might have to. But I just want literally anybody bought the Astros.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, I think the Diamondbacks are, like, cool, but also, like, I don't think, like, you could kind of see it in the first few games. The first game was close against the Phillies, but, like, you could kind of see it where, like, all right, you're a little bit outmatched.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only part that pisses me off about the Phillies is that they are everything I hoped the White Sox would be. Like, to a T. Like, you had one big free agent signing. Your prospects that you brought up were fucking awesome. They lived up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
And then you signed, like, a bunch of dudes like Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, who, like, aren't necessarily, like, insanely good, but, like, do their job.
Good,
and
like,
rise to the occasions.
Type pieces.
Yeah, like, they rise to the occasions. And it's like, motherfucker, why couldn't we just do that? But they are, like, the most likable team of all time.
Oh, well, see, the thing is, in my ideal world, it would be a Diamondbacks Rangers World Series.
You're going against the team that I deemed?
Well, yeah. Again, geography.
Okay, can I try and convince you with, have you seen the Phillies double celebration?
Double?
Yeah, well, like, you know how, like, when you hit a double, you do a celebration back to the dugouts? Have you seen it?
No.
They do the, like, kind of like you're in, like, a squat stance, and then they dribble their nuts back and forth a little bit on the second base. Yeah. Kind of sick.
I'll have to see that.
Like, I mean, everybody else is, like, you know, doing the, like, the they shoot the arrow in the air. They're just, like, drop the nuts. And then the whole dugout leans over the railing and drops the nuts as well. That's kind of funny.
That, I mean, talk about cocky.
It's not cocky.
It is. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that celebration, to be honest with you. It's good in a more private setting.
What would your double celebration be?
That's a good one.
Because I think the drop the nuts is elite.
I kind of like the fake Stone Cold Steve Austin, the double beer smash, and then you chug them.
Kind of cocky to be doing the Stone Cold celebration when you're not Stone Cold. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit more appropriate.
Chugging beers over dropping nuts? I think they're both the exact same thing, brother.
No.
Yes. Chugging beers and dropping nuts is the exact same thing. That's like what fucking America's made on, dog. That's fucking America right there. They're both America as fuck.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
I might fucking stone cold it and then drop the nuts,
you
know?
I've never thought about my double celebration. Maybe just sheath the sword. I kind of like that
one. I like that.
I'd have to give it some thought. We'll circle back to this.
I know what my triple celebration would be. If I ever got one of those.
Yeah?
I would. You know the game you used to play?
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd upside down the threes and look at somebody? Mm-hmm. That's what I would do back to the dugout.
Nice. I like that.
And then they would all hit some push-ups.
I like that. In Little League, I was a home run away from hitting for the cycle in one game, and I literally hit a home run that went foul that game.
That's the closest I've ever come to hitting a home run. I didn't hit for the cycle. I was a utility guy. I was Leury Garcia in Little League, dude. I was fucking... But I was better than Leury Garcia. So I batted in like the three hole. But like I could what do you need? Where do you need me, coach?
Yeah.
Am I making plays? I'm making plays. I literally had like a plastic gold glove and I thought that I had the gold glove because I was like, dude, fucking
boom. You see this guy?
I am a gold glover.
Yeah. Yeah.
So suck it.
I got two more things to talk about here. First one, we got some new sports being added to the 2028 Summer Olympics, if you didn't see this.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse. We also have cricket, flag football.
Cricket is sick.
Cricket, flag football, lacrosse, squash, baseball, and softball. Cricket in the Olympics is about to be elite. Yeah, shout out to JC. Flag football. I don't really know how I feel about that.
I don't care for
being
that.
Being Olympian flag footballer, just put some pads on and be a real person.
Just like you kind of suck at actual football.
Lacrosse, cool. Do a lot of other countries play lacrosse?
It's been getting a lot better.
Okay. That's why they're announcing it now to give people 5 years to prepare.
Like normally, like so they have a lacrosse like World Cup basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally like us versus Canada. Every year.
Okay.
But Japan has a team, Jamaica has a team, like the Iroquois national team is insane. Like there are a lot of good, like England has a team, like there are a lot of good, like it's getting bigger in foreign countries enough to the point of where like if we played like England or Jamaica or whatever, like sure, we would still win by relatively good amount, but it's not like all right, we're playing, like, the varsity team in high school versus, like, the sixth grade basketball team type of thing. So, gotcha. Like, it's a relatively good matchup. But, yeah, it's getting very much bigger in a lot of other countries. So I think that's why they kind of added it.
Okay.
My thing, though, with lacrosse and baseball and softball, I guess, is, like, they used to do, like the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, so
stuff
what's,
like that. So,
what's
like,
gonna be
I
the
hope,
difference?
I hope, I don't know. I almost hope that like the World Cup for lacrosse and the World Baseball Classic for like baseball and softball like don't go away. Like, right, I still want those things to happen.
Especially the World Baseball Classic. I would rather have that than baseball in the Olympics.
Me too. The World Baseball Classic is sick.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure baseball and lacrosse used to be, or baseball and softball used to be in the Olympics.
They definitely did. At least I know for a fact softball did.
Yeah.
I have one other dumb thought that kind of is, well, it is sports related. I saw a billboard today, and I'm not sure whether or not to be proud of this or if I need to really think over my life's priorities. It was a billboard. I'm not going to say like exactly what it's for, but it was talking about, it was like, you know, dial 1-800-SOS, you know, if you need help with this. And there were obviously other numbers, but I, obviously it's, you know, a call for help, SOS, right? I read that and immediately, like without even thinking twice about it, my brain read strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not necessarily proud of that. I feel like I need to reprioritize things in my life. Nah, but that, like, I swear to you, was just instantly what I read. 1-800 strength of schedule.
To be fair, though, like, and this is going to sound bad because it's going to off-play that, but, like, you don't need an SOS because you're not even thinking.
Yeah, right.
You're not even thinking actual SOS. Yeah, Dutton understands it. Like, if you read that and you think strength of schedule, you're never going to have to call that number in your entire life. Ever.
I sure hope not.
Because if you see that entire billboard, you analyze the picture, you see the whatever message it has up there, mm-hmm. you read the number, and then you see SOS, and you're like, first thing into your mind is like strength of schedule, you're never calling that number in your entire life. No shot.
I couldn't even tell you the number. I was just, I read strength of schedule and I was like, oh my God, what is going on?
I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Who the fuck's next? Like, Notre Dame's got a great strength. Imagine like you just like, you call that number and they're like, hello, what football team would you like to talk about? And you're like, Auburn. And they're like, their strength of schedule is 72nd, and you're like, okay, thank you, and then you just hang up. Like, it's just an automated thing that like tells you the strength schedule of every team. It's like, all right, thanks, I needed that.
Weekly.
Yeah, like, fucking, you call them after this week, you're like, fucking Notre Dame strength of schedule went down because Louisville got shitbagged by Pittsburgh. Fuck. God damn it.
That's all I got, though.
I think that's all I got. All
right. Well, that is where we are wrapping up Shed Some Light episode 244. Remember last one we said we weren't going to be back if Notre Dame lost? We're back.
Dude. Maybe that's just the ultimatum. Maybe we have to give Notre Dame the ultimatum that if they lose, we're not doing this again.
We'll see.
It's the motivation that they need.
Luckily, we'll be back next week because it's a bye week.
Yeah.
So
can't fuck it up this week.
We'll be back to talk about fingers crossed in episode 245. Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And in the meantime,
keep them cold.
Keep them cold, everyone.